Is gone. The thrill is gone. I can see it in your eyes. I can hear. And realize the thrill is gone. The nights are so cold. For love is so old. Love was great. Birds were singing, skies are blue. Now it don't appeal to you. The thrill is gone. This is.
Another 3 hours of a great big band show, thanks to Andy Paul, our new big band man for WHFR Dearborn, WHFR.FM, the station making waves. And now, coming right up for the next hour, is our public affairs show, local news and alternative views. Good day to you all. This is Jay Koronek, station advisor here at WHFR-FM, the station making waves, doing things a little bit differently than other stations. Imagine a public affairs, a local public affairs, local news show every week at a time when people are normally awake. But, of course, we also have it available online from our website anytime, day or night, and maybe many of you are listening to this show, not at our usual broadcast time of 1 to 2 p.m. on Fridays, but some other time that's good for you. And just download it into your iPod and go out jogging with it. You know, there's quite a beat to local news. In fact, often they call news reporting following the beat. And we follow the beat of the city of Dearborn and the surrounding area, as well as, of course, the kinds of coverage and opinions that show up in the local newspapers. The Dearborn Times-Herald and Press and Guide are always very generous to provide us with complimentary copies. But I subscribe to at home because I like to make sure that I support a worthy cause, and local newspapers are definitely a worthy cause in this day and age of newspapers sort of disappearing. If you listen to this show before, you know that I really believe in reading. You know, I can't sing, I can't dance, but boy, can I read. And when that happens, I believe that you think better, that you can think more clearly and more critically, and you have more ideas and more opinions to assess the barrage of one-directional media messages coming at you from cable TV news, let's say, or certain other talk radio stations and syndicated talk programs where the person is haranguing you, lecturing you. Well, I just try to stimulate you and let you know that there's many points of view out there, and it is on purpose, we try to give you points of view and ideas that you haven't heard before. Huh, imagine that. In order to help you assess what's going on. So as I said, my name is Jay Koronek, and oh, by the way, we're always happy to take your ideas and opinions. WHFR at hfcc.edu is our email address, and be glad to see what you think of some of the things we say and what you think is important, and especially if we get something wrong, we want those corrections. If you don't like some of the ideas or opinions that I have, remember that opinions are not regulated by FCC, and it is a matter of free speech. However, the opinions are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford Community College. Just because they own the license, they didn't tell me to say any things. They don't take responsibility for them. And of course, I always encourage you folks listening to have your own ideas and come to your own conclusions. But if I stimulate you to rethink your ideas or to maybe go a different direction or do some research on your own, that's wonderful. That's the whole idea. So without further ado, as they say, let me go to the newspapers and see what's happening this week. Okay. I did get a copy this week. I subscribed to the Times Herald newspaper, and I got a copy of the Downriver Sunday Times. Haven't seen this in a lot of weeks. Now, they don't cover directly Dearborn. They supposedly serve Allen Park, Canton, Garden City, Lincoln Park, and it goes on, as well as Dearborn Heights. And so I just haven't seen the Sunday edition for a while. It's nice to have it back because we like to find out what's going on right around us. It often problems are that of the whole region, the whole Detroit metropolitan area. And so what's happening elsewhere is often important for us to keep up on, too. Okay, so I think this was reported before. And that is that the Unity Studios, the film studio project, is still on track in Allen Park. That was just reconfirmed Tuesday. And somebody said it's falling behind schedule, and the officials of the group had not met Wayne County's guidelines. But Unity Studios president Jimmy Lifton said the project is on course. And something that's interesting here on page 8A of the Sunday edition Times Herald is that the city is given $2 million from Unity Studio to cover the shortfall in the pension system for the city of Allen Park. Huh. And that's a wonderful thing, but considering that the studio it may be behind schedule or hasn't been communicating a lot with Wayne County officials, as was indicated in that article. Their executive, their president, Jimmy Lifton, says they're right on target, but they haven't been communicating that too well. But there's a shortfall of about $2 million in the city's budget in Allen Park, and it's a very demanding time. And when Lifton heard of the shortfall, he offered to help. Isn't that nice? Now, I always think there has to be quid pro quo, though. You know, nobody's going to give you $2 million just because you need it. I'm sorry to be so crass about it, but Lifton apparently has financial resources, probably part of a large loan package that he took out. I don't believe he's a billionaire. He may be a millionaire, but giving away $2 million, something is in the works. Lower taxes, maybe? It's going to come back and hit the people of Allen Park. I guarantee you. Okay, there's no free rides and there's no free gifts of $2 million here and there. I understand that the trade-off for Ford giving $6 million to the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center to get their name up there and not to allow Dearborn to have its name as part of the title of our center in Dearborn, our civic center, got a little discount on their taxes. I mean, that was under the table, wasn't directly mentioned. But tax rebates or tax cuts or tax abatement, whatever you want to call them, that was part of the understanding. Hey, we'll give you $6 million up front and get all the positive publicity, but you're going to keep our taxes low or you're going to cut them even more on our property, or you're going to stop your lawsuits that ask for a reevaluation of the value of our property. Whatever it was, I have anonymous sources that I trust. It could be wrong, but that was the discussion. That was the quid pro quo. That was, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You do something for me, I'll do something for you. Actually, I'll do something for you, but then you gotta do something back for me. That kind of understanding. So I'm very suspicious. I'm sorry, but I'm very suspicious of Unity Studios. Although it's wonderful they gave the $2 million the employees of Ellen Park deserve to have their pensions. What else do you have when you're retired? You know, not much else. Okay. Now, Unity Studios won't really be doing too much over there, as was said before on this show, too, in terms of making movies. But their institute, their training institute, which is not going to train directors and cinematographers and editors, just training people to be gophers and production assistants, okay, the training institute will open this fall and cost people a ton of money and then give them a chance to compete for jobs. But even after they graduate from Unity Studios Institute, they're not necessarily going to get a job at Unity Studios or anywhere else for that matter, okay? And if they get in full production in a couple of years, they might have 1,000 jobs, and maybe the 1,000 jobs could be 3,000, but, it says these jobs are fully employed, skilled labor, and for the most part on our Unity site, it will all be union labor, so everyone is making good wages. Of course, these people are highly skilled technicians. Movies don't use your average plumber, your average electrician, to do plumbing and electrical work or construction of sets. These are highly skilled people. They have to be. It's got to be a good job because you got to make that illusion of reality at a lower cost than reality work. And so all the detail work has got to be there, and it's got to work. It's got to be dependable. It's got to be better than what would be done for the average consumer or average building project. And, of course, the same thing goes for cinematography and editing and directing. You can't have people that don't understand all the traditional practices and have years and years of study and experience. You can't do it that way. There's too much money at stake. It's too risky a proposition to lose a couple million dollars. Or, you know, the average film from Hollywood today is costing $65 to $70 million to make. That's the average film. And I assume they're going to make them somewhat more reasonably in Ellen Park. But yes, they need highly trained professionals, and their institute is not able, the Lifton Institute of Media Skills, that's going to open in October, but that's not going to create these full-time, highly skilled jobs, even though they're charging big tuition fees, and I forget the exact amount, but there's no promises that they're even going to hire the people that they graduate from that. So we'll have to wait and see. Also was suspicious a couple weeks ago, if you remember on the show, that they picked Burton Katzman to build the place. The people that the city of Dearborn, the company the city of Dearborn is the developer, that the city of Dearborn is currently suing for lack of fulfillment of their contract in West Dearborn. Although there they can say, well, it was economics, not enough people there to, you know, justify a hotel and other bidders, hotels in that backed out, developers backed out who had promised before. So we'll see what happens in court with that. Burton Katzman said, well, in Ellen Park, the money's all up front. There's no question about, you know, the economic climate or shoppers or, you know, ongoing issues. There's only one client. The money's up front. We're going to build the thing. They're going to be developers and construction people. They're going to hire the people to construct it, Burton Katzman. So, yeah, they can probably get it built then. I mean, why wouldn't they? But I hate to not be positive because I'm into film. I've taught film production, video production for 40 years here at Henry Ford Community College, and I know what it's all about. And I've worked professionally a little bit, even though I love teaching. So, and I volunteered professionally on many projects. I've toured, I've visited Hollywood, I'm part of the Directors Guild of America workshops. And so I know what professionals do and I know how they do it. I wish it well. What can I say? In that Sunday Times, though, for you to read, this is Sunday Times of the Times Herald newspaper, a Bewick publication. The conservative think tank and the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, one of their thinkers, Michael D. LaFave, director of the Morley Fiscal Policy Initiative at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, based in Midland, has written an editorial about how MSU, Michigan State University, did a report on the film subsidy about how many economic impact film studios around the state will have on our economy. And they basically left out a whole bunch of information. And according to the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, what information they left out provided a skewed, I would call it slanted truth, picture of the Michigan Film Initiative's actual impact. And you know, it's costing millions and millions of dollars from the state of Michigan, $48 million, too, cost of the subsidies just last year, $48 million. Of course, what's $48 million when the state is already $1.5 billion in debt and has to figure out what to do by October? Or there won't be any paychecks for anybody in the state of Michigan who work for the state, including welfare checks and so on. Sort of like California issuing IOUs. Hey, we're a big state. We're good for it. We don't know where we're going to get the money from, but someday we might pay you back and with a little bit of interest. I think they were trying to promise 1.5, but they didn't say when. They didn't say when they'd be able to pay it back, I don't think. And even if they did, the analyst had made some comment, I think, that there's no clue how they can even meet that deadline because they have not got a budget, not gotten a way to raise money to cover all their costs. And they haven't cut out, reduced cost in the state of California enough. So, I was in favor of Film Office and bringing movies here to shoot. I do think it's the right direction to go. But the large subsidies, we had to use those to be competitive because a lot of other states have subsidies equal to, or one state at least, or two states last year just up their ante and are besting Michigan. Michigan for about a year was the best state in the United States, even though the most broke and most out of work, investment in film projects that are coming into the state, tax rebates, subsidies, subsidizing production or whatever. Michigan was the best for a year, I think, in 2007. Then two other states, I can't remember which two, they, you know, like Michigan does like 45% return on investment after 1 year, 45% of the cost of a movie. So you make a movie for $10 million and you get from the state of Michigan like $4.5 million the next year. Just cash up front, whether your movie was any good or not. So that's great, but some other states boosted theirs to 48% or 50%. So we're competing with other states, in fact. But some other states are much better off economically than we are. Not too much these days, but still a little better off. So read that, too. Normally, I suggest you be careful about the Mackinac Center because anything they're going to say, you know, is going to be from a conservative point of view, which means For a think tank, it means you have blinders on while you're doing your thinking. So you're not an open-minded thinker. You reject any sort of liberal ideas, whatever that means. And so you don't look at all the facts. But here they're trying to point out that the study is missing information about the true cost of these film subsidies and whether or not it'll, you know, all kick in a couple of years and balance out. We don't know, but the study that said, oh, yeah, film is going to be so profitable, got to be careful, got to monitor it. It was the right thing to do for the Sunday Times to put that article in there and other people to say, hey, I think you're behind schedule in Allen Park, aren't you? Can't just let them sit there, you know. And it looks like because this came up, they decided to make this little contribution to get the city off their back for a while. $2 million pension fund. And that's how it goes around here. Yes, it is. I was at, let me give the Dearborn Farm Market report as I do briefly every Friday morning at 10:30. Won't be able to do it next Friday at 10:30. Maybe someone else will from our station. I will be gone for a week to in Michigan, say yes to Michigan, up north to a film festival that Michael Moore coordinates in Traverse City. And it's my first time being at his festival. I've visited other film festivals around the country in the past. It's a place to see the newest, latest, best movies, not necessarily made in Hollywood either. And always very challenging, documentaries as well as fiction films. And a lot of filmmakers are going to be there too, as they are at most film festivals, talking, lecturing, Q&A after the movies. So it should be, to my mind anyway, and my preference is an exciting time. I may tell you about it if it's relevant to local news when I get back. So next Friday there will be, however, two of our talented co-hosts here that will sit in for me. And not quite sure exactly which two, but someone's going to be here. And the news will go on. Why? Because it always does. Can't stop that news. Stuff happens, right? Yeah. So the report is that there's a lot of people out there, and you should get out there and get your fresh fruit, vegetables, all from local suppliers who grow the food in Michigan itself. Some of them come from maybe 100 miles away, but it's all there. I love the very fresh bread of so many different sorts. And there's usually three different vendors, or four. There was only, I think... Well, the orchard people, I can't remember their name, but they sell small loaves of bread, but they're known more for berries and cherries, but they also have things like coffee cakes and so on, and they had an awful lot of different small loaves of bread there today, so I tried some of theirs. So I go back and forth, and that's exciting too, trying all this fresh stuff from one vendor or the other, and it's all probably relatively more healthy. If it isn't certified organic, it's probably got minimal pesticides, and it is not, it does not have to have preservatives sprayed on it or be flash frozen or something to come from halfway around the world. Always amazed and very suspicious of something that was like grapes that come from Chile or some place in South, way down in South America, or the Philippines, or, you know, how the heck do they keep it fresh that long? It won't stay fresh that long in my refrigerator. So how can that happen? And it's because they put in chemicals that may or may not immediately hurt you, but it's not natural. And, of course, there's many natural things that hurt you. You know, mushrooms, if they're poisonous, will kill you. So, everybody's got to be careful about something these days. But nonetheless, what I didn't see out there, as I mentioned this morning, is there weren't any politicians. And we have this big primary coming up. Yes, it is. For those in Dearborn, be sure to circle the date, August 4th. I'll be back from my trip on the 3rd. I intend to vote. I know I could have done an absentee vote, but I'm going to be here. I want to get all the latest information, read the papers immediately when I come back to see if there's any last-minute stories, and you'll find out that last-minute information about from the papers next week, Friday, on the 31st, okay, right on this show. They'll do the highlights of the campaign if the papers have endorsements, and I hope they do, or they're not doing their job as a newspaper. I don't care if they'll lose friends. I mean, I was a little miffed at the Dearborn Press and Guide because they allowed one of their columnists, they have sort of a crossfire, a Republican, Democrat, that speak on a single issue each week, and those are interesting, you know, two-sided opinions of important issues. Morris Goodman speaks for the Democratic Party in Dearborn, apparently. He's the one that writes the Democratic position on those topics. And they allowed him a full column, not a letter to the editor. In fact, I don't even see any letters to the editors anymore. Maybe no one writes them anymore. A full column endorsing George Derainey. Now, George is a nice guy. I know a lot of people at college here love him and have worked in his campaign. You know, I'm just saying, people work for him, people voted for him, although he didn't get into the top seven originally. It's only because O'Reilly moved to mayor and, you know, everybody moved up and there was one vacancy and he was number eight in the last election for council. So he wasn't really in the top seven of the public's choices in the last election, but he was number eight and so he's on the council. And now, did he get elected once on his own since then? It's been a while. Well, nothing against George. Seems like a nice, amiable person. I've never talked to him directly, but a lot of people, as I said, that I know around here at Henry Ford Community College have and think he's a wonderful person. And that's fine, I guess. But shouldn't all of the people that don't have name recognition, all the challengers, do some campaigning? Shouldn't they get out and meet the people at public events like the Dearborn Farmer and Artisans Market? George Hart was there, and Mayor O'Reilly has been there. Of course, he's not up really for any challenge in November. I think one other person is on the ballot who's not really going to campaign, I don't think, because he doesn't have a name recognition. He's going to lose badly. Why should he spend $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 of someone's money, his own maybe, in a losing campaign? You know, would Mayor O'Reilly even debate him if he wanted to? Well, he's going to come out badly because he doesn't know city government. He's got his opinions, and that's fine, but Mayor O'Reilly is right on top and into every aspect of the government. He knows all the stuff that's happening. He's really very knowledgeable and overflowing with information. Mayor Guido used to play it kind of, what do they say, close to the chest. He would tell you only so much to try to dazzle you a little, and then he wouldn't give you any more information. I always felt he was kind of hiding something, but he always wanted to put the best spin. You know, he felt he was the city's number one cheerleader. So you never want to slip and say something that might be, you know, too much information. Somebody can attack you. But it's all true information, so I think it needs to be shared, and Mayor John B. O'Reilly Jr. has done that. I think he does a great job of that. You may disagree with his approaches or his opinions or his priorities. That's fine. But he is sure upfront about information and facts and rationale, his rationale for what he does. Not hiding anything, I don't think. So it's going to be a difficult campaign for his competition. But what about these other challengers for the council? We've gone over their you know, background and characteristics on the show, and we're going to finish with the last two of the challengers today, just judging them on the basis of the Women's League of Voters Voters Guide, which you can get from their website, League of Women Voters, DearbornDearbornHeights.org, but it's just the letters, the first letters of those words, LWVDDH.org, League of Women Voters, not the word of. Okay, so don't take the O from the word of there. League of Women's Voters, Dearborn, Dearborn Heights. No dash there, .org. And you can download that or read it off your computer screen or go to the Dearborn City Clerk's office. They should have many available copies right on the desk for you to pick up and read. At this point, including the newspapers of this week, there's no stories on any of the challengers or any of the incumbents, other than a recap of the League of Women Voters Voters Guide. So come on, you got reporters locally? Why don't you use them? Get them going. Dearborn Times Herald, Dearborn Press and Guide. It's my challenge to you, I don't have time enough to interview them, but you supposedly can squeeze in a couple paragraphs of your own making, can't you? And then please, 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 you're not really doing your job as a local newspaper if you don't do endorsements. Okay, that's my point of view, and I'm sticking to it. All right. What we have here coming up now, and it's about the halfway point, not quite, but about the halfway point, is a commentary about the health insurance issue. And, of course, that matters to all of us, including those of us locally. And of course, Jim Hightower does these great 2-minute and 10-second editorials. Yes, he's a progressive, which means a liberal's liberal. Okay. He wants change for the better. He wants it now. Okay, on the health insurance issue, here's his spin, and he just recorded this yesterday for today's use, and so it's brand new, we have a website that we can access that's better than jimhightower.com, which is the public site. The media can get in there and get opinions that aren't even up yet on his site. So as soon as he does them, we try to share them. So take a listen to this, and also we have some non-commercial messages, and then we'll be back with more headlines and good little stuff from the local papers, issues that matter to Dearborn and the surrounding area. Here's Jim Hightower.
Senator Richard Shelby of Alabama is all for congressional efforts to produce health care reform, as long as they don't contain any actual reform. The senator gets fainting spells at the mere mention of Barack Obama's proposals, gasping that they add up to socialized health care and would destroy, quote, the best health care system the world has ever known. The best? Maybe he meant the most expensive, for it surely is that. But the best? Hardly. The quality of our care ranks 37th in the world, only one notch better than Slovenia. Perhaps it's not Shelby's fault that he's out of touch with the costly, bureaucratic, uncaring system now run by a handful of insurance corporations. After all, he's been in Congress for 30 years, so he and his family have long been receiving platinum-level coverage, courtesy of us taxpayers. Yes, you see, Shelby already gets excellent socialized health care, so of course he thinks it's the best. Obama is not so bold as to offer you and me the same sweet deal that our Congress creditors get, but his plan does include one provision to help us escape the untender mercies of insurance profiteers. Called the Public Option, it creates a publicly run insurance plan as an alternative to the costly, mingy, inscrutable policy shoved at us by the big monopolistic insurers. Of course, insurance executives don't want any real competition, so they've unleashed an army of Washington lobbyists to get Congress to kill this option. The question is whether the industry's political cash and lobbying clout will induce enough senators and House members to vote against the American people, 72% of whom tell pollsters they want the public option. This is Jim Hightower saying, to learn more and to support real consumer choice in health insurance, contact Democracy for America. You can find them at www.democracyforamerica.com.
Today's commentary is underwritten by Wiley & Sons, publisher of Hightower's new book titled Swim Against the Current, Even a Dead Fish Can Go with the Flow, now available wherever books are sold.
Stand Up for Kids Detroit is a volunteer program that helps homeless and at-risk youth in Detroit. They have programs that range from assisting foster care youth to street outreach where counselor teams go out on the street and talk with kids about the program and how a youth in need can get help. Right now, Stand Up is in need of more male street outreach counselors. If you are a male 18 or older who has good communication skills and wants to become a strong, positive role model for at-risk youth, email detroit@standupforkids.org or call 313-516-2763. You may even be able to get school credit for the volunteer work, so contact them to learn more. The number again is 313-516-2763.
Are you stuck at a dead-end boring job with no chances for a promotion? Or maybe you don't have a job at all. If this sounds like you, it's time to stand up and start marching your life in a new direction. I'm talking about getting the education and training you will need to stay ahead in this changing job climate. Henry Ford Community College has been educating our local community for over 70 years. With more than 100 different programs and nearly 1,000 different courses, there's something for everyone at HFCC. To learn about all the different areas of study at Henry Ford Community College and about how HFCC can save you time and money with financial aid, a tuition freeze guarantee, a job skills guarantee, and a credit transfer guarantee, visit them online at www.hfcc.edu or call 1-800-585-HFCC. Registration is going on now for the 2009 fall semester. Henry Ford Community College, your best choice, guaranteed.
Know the joy of listening to Blues with a Feeling, but did you know you can enjoy the latest R&B on the same program? Join me, Anderson Coleman, on Saturdays 3 to 6 p.m. at WHFR, the only station making waves. I've got it all on 89.3 FM.
I'm going back to the dog today, baby. Please hand me down my walking shoes.
Well, don't walk away from WHFR.FM. No, we've got good things happening, such as that blues show on Saturday afternoons. Coming up today at 2 o'clock after this show is Highway 61 with Joanne Kurchinska, our blues music director. For 4 big hours, she takes a cruise down Highway 61, the not just proverbial, but historic highway in Mississippi, I believe. How soon we forget that that is sort of enshrined in song by many blues artists, and I won't go into that right now. Joanne can tell you if she wants to. So we hope to entertain you, you know, starting at 2 o'clock with the best in blues today with Joanne K. See how that rhymes? That worked out good. Doesn't usually work out that good. Okay, so my name is Jay Kornick, and happy to be with you today, and going to jump into some other issues here. I guess before I get the, I'll do a little more at the papers, okay? And then we'll go back to these things. The Sunday Dearborn Press and Guide that fired... Dearborn Building and Safety Department person, Letitia Bozeman, has pleaded guilty to accepting bribes in return for issuing temporary certificates of occupancy for residential property in the city of Dearborn. So instead of people paying money to upgrade their property to code, they would just pay this bribe to Letitia, and she got more than $63,000 from many individuals, a total of $63,000, a little over that apparently, from 2006 until June 2008. And that's the outcome of that one, anyway, of that situation. Of course, the Dearborn Building and Safety Department has been split into two, and really a third element that they needed to help get some federal grants in terms of local construction or funding. So it's actually three departments that are responsible in different ways, and they're not interconnected now. And they were somewhat in the same department, large department. Same sort of problem, you might say, the historic traditions of inertia of General Motors. Oh, I almost said our U.S. Congress. Is sometimes you have to shake things up in order to get good things to happen, or there's going to be corruption of the system. The bureaucracy stays static too long, people find ways to take personal advantage, and then a lot of people find ways, and then the whole thing is a mess, and it's completely corrupt. And so I think this was the right thing to do. Mayor Guido said for the last 3-4 years, even in a State of the City address, we've got to make changes in the Department of Building and Safety in Dearborn. He never did. To my knowledge, never did anything. So, which ties us to another story that comes up in the Dearborn Press and Guide Wednesday. Norwood assignment raises Tefelsky's ire is the title. An internal move by the city's administration that will allow former building and safety director Dave Norwood, he was the head of building and safety, to seek federal energy efficiency and conservation block grant funds on behalf of the city of Dearborn is generating some heat from the city council president, who says the move could send the wrong message to residents. Quote from City Council President Tom Tefelsky, quote, "The building and safety department is in disarray, and now you have the guy who oversaw it going into grant writing," unquote. The article goes on, but Mayor Jack O'Reilly has defended the move, citing Norwood's experience as both an attorney and a city employee. The mayor said, quote, "Dave is a sincere person, and his background speaks for itself," unquote. Well, his background includes overseeing a department that had corruption and had criticism over the, you know, for years, for decades. I've been here since 79. I've heard it. I've seen it. That those inspectors go out, and whether they're bribed or not, some of them are strict some days. They're lenient another day. Very little consistency at times. I won't say all the time, but at times. I was happy when they came by when I had a building project, a renovation expansion of my house about 15 years ago or so. And they came in, they glanced at it, said, yeah, looks good, and walked out. Well, they could not have really seen if anything was wrong. They must have wanted an early lunch. I'm sorry, he was a nice guy. But as a homeowner, I really wanted the city's opinion as to whether or not the workers were doing the code work the way it should have. Now, to my knowledge, they did. Because nothing has failed since, you know, in 15 years. So as far as I know, everything is okay there. So we'll see. We have to do the best we can. Yep. But I think, you know, a lot of divergent enforcement of the rules, subjective enforcement of the Dearborn Code rules was going on, even beyond the other problems. And user-friendly? No. Try to get information. Try to get them to give you information. And Mayor Guido talked about it again for the last several years of his term in office. Not too much early on, but he should have. And then he finally caught the idea that, well, maybe I ought to say that I'm doing something and then maybe not really do too much. And Mayor O'Reilly has done something. And the FBI has done something in terms of coming in and arresting. I think they arrested more than one person, but they only have this one person at this point who's charged and actually pleaded guilty, because they must have had the evidence on her so much there's no point in going to trial. Might as well just ask for leniency or something. Maybe get a plea bargain to turn somebody else in. It doesn't say that, but who knows. So anyway, Dave Norwood is still around, trying to get grants for the city for block grant funds from the federal government. And the mayor says his background speaks for itself. Okay. Alrighty. That's what it says. Keep our fingers crossed on that one, too. Okay. In Dearborn Heights, you say, well, on your show, you never talk about Dearborn Heights. And when you always say Dearborn Heights, you never talk about Dearborn Heights. Well, here's Dearborn Heights. It was a surprise, I guess, but one of their councilmen, Bob Brown, just resigned effective midnight Tuesday. That would have been last week Tuesday, not this week Tuesday, after the full city council accepted his resignation letter earlier that night. In his letter, Brown said, because of personal matters and his work as executive director of the Senior Alliance, that's the Area Agency on Aging for 34 Wayne County communities, he can no longer fulfill his responsibilities as a councilman. And he says, I fully enjoyed the last year and a half. I wish you well. Dearborn Heights Mayor Dan Paletko said this is a loss for the city. He said Brown worked well with the council, and his familiarity with state legislature was a boon. Okay, was advantageous. One thing is, as everybody should know, is that city councilmen work as part-timers. And from Ned Apigian, who's one of our staff members and running for council this fall, and it's not an endorsement necessarily, but he is running along with other challengers. He's run before, and he says they don't get paid much. I think it's less than $10,000. So it's kind of pocket change for somebody that's already got a day job where it's a big corporation and agency, and it's maybe more hassle than it's worth. I don't know. Maybe there's some big, terrible thing coming up, and Brown wanted to get out of there quick before it opened up and he was embroiled in it. Maybe not. Everybody, I think I do respect people tremendously. I know I had to do it once. I had an elected position here at the college within my division, and I resigned before my term was up. Yep, I did the Sarah Palin thing. I'm sorry, but I had personal reasons. I felt I couldn't do the job. Nervous breakdown was actually the underlying issue. I felt that was coming if I didn't pull back. I was still full-time teaching as well as trying to do this position. And so sometimes that's the professional thing. Before there is a crisis and before you can't really do your job very well, before you become mediocre, maybe you need to get out. Okay. By the way, the phone has been ringing here. I see the light flashing, and if someone is calling in, can't answer it. I'm sorry. I'm on the air live. Maybe it's just some record company trying to do tracking, but we're really busy today with phone calls. And, of course, the college is closed down. We don't have our work-study student at the front desk, and I have no co-host to pick up the line. So if you're listening and you're the one calling, yeah, sorry. I can talk to you when Joanne Kay gets in here after 2 o'clock if you are trying to correct something I said that was weird. All right. Okay. I think that's all from this paper. It is this Sunday edition, July 19th, where Morris Goodman has his whole column with color picture of George Delaney. Delaney deserves your vote. I think that's completely unfair. If he wants to write a letter, fine. But to use his status as from the crossfire as an editorial writer to endorse just one person, well, hey, would you do that for me? Okay. Will you get a color picture of the candidate I want to support? I'm not a regular columnist, but if you do it for Morris Goodman, you should do it for anybody. And this is not a letter of 50 words. This column is, it's about almost half a page, a third of a page anyway, all the way across. And five columns, I see, two-part columns. So that's a lot of words there that they let him do. It's kind of unfair to other candidates. Because it didn't cost Goodman or Delaney any money, as far as I know, to have that run in the paper. So they got it for free. You say, well, Morris is on he feels strongly, and he's on our staff, so he can write it if he wants to. I disagree with that. Sorry. Press and guide. It's great hearing the opinion and the background, but I want to hear that same sort of in-depth opinion and background on all the candidates. Yes, I do. Don't you? Gentle listener. Comedian Lewis Black always refers to his fans as gentle snowflakes. I don't know what that means. Is it good to be a gentle snowflake? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's something I can't talk about on the radio. Okay, let's see what else is going on here. So we're done with Wednesday. And this is interesting. In a back section of Press and Guide from Wednesday, July 22nd, the state of Michigan, Department of Environmental Quality, DEQ, MDEQ, announced Monday it's moving ahead with plans to revoke the operating license for two deep injection hazardous waste wells in the city. The wells at 28470 Citron Drive near I-94 and Inkster Road. That's our city? Anyway, opened in December 2005 and have been used to pump hazardous waste into the Mount Simon Foundation Formation. That's underground. That's geology talk, folks. That's about 4,000 feet below the surface. So we're putting our toxic waste 4,000 feet under the surface. Hope it doesn't ever bubble up. The wells are located very close to the southwest corners of both Dearborn Heights and Dearborn, and officials and residents from both cities have opposed the wells at meetings. We've talked about those in years past. They were shut down 10 months after opening when state inspectors found two above-ground leaks during a routine inspection. So whatever the shaft was that they, you know, dug 4,000 feet down, does it even have oil wells that go down that far? A mile down would be, what, 5,800 feet? And this is 4,000 feet down to put the toxic waste down there. But apparently the shaft area or something was causing a leak as stuff was coming back up. The DEQ then began steps last summer to revoke the operating license. Monday's decision to continue with the license revocation process came after the state agency reviewed comments submitted in connection with a public hearing on the wells in April. The next step is for the DEQ to file a petition for a contested case hearing with the State Office of Administrative Hearing and Rules. And there, an administrative law judge will listen to both sides of the issue and recommend whether or not the revocation of the operating license should be finalized. Well, all these steps and stages, but that does make it fair, doesn't it? Sort of. It just seems to take forever. Luckily, you know, that's been shut down. It's not operating. There's no more toxic waste going in. In 2007, a year after DEQ shut it down, the EDS transferred ownership of the facility, permits, and licenses to Romulus Deep Disposal Company. However, EDS did not notify the government agencies involved, which is a violation of the permitting process. So residents are at odds with both companies, Romulus Deep Disposal and Environmental Geotechnologies. And I won't go into the rest of the details, but good for the state, good for the DEQ. Often I find they do some crazy things, but like forcing the parking lots here at Henry Ford Community College to raise in cost from $6 million to $20 million for the preservation of wetlands, which I don't even see. The simple fact is our water runoff from our asphalt parking lots, which are large and free to our students to park on, does send rainwater like crazy down the banks into the Rouge River tributary, and that causes more erosion than would normally be in the real world. Well, okay, that's... So, it... The answer was to put in these sewer systems, a huge 6-foot-high concrete tubes, okay, that are, you know, they're being put in all around the edges, and they'll collect the water and send it into Dearborn's sewer system, the runoff from the parking lots, the new parking lots. And but I don't know where the wetlands are, and I think there's got to be another way. There should have been another way to do that. I'm not in favor of putting concrete on the sides of the river, although the Army Corps of Engineers has already done that. And by the way, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers doesn't have the highest regard from environmental groups. You know, they come up with these massive pork barrel projects to keep themselves in work, and they're not the best thing for natural wildlife at all. But the parking lot thing was a Michigan Department of Environmental Quality issue. After we already had the permits in, we already started doing it, had to stop. And when they came back with their changes, the cost went from $6 million to $20 million. And it may be justified. Okay, you're going to cover that much natural ground with unbreathable asphalt. Okay, and there's going to be consequences. But there had to be another way to do that. It just had to. If you come here to the college campus, you'll see the holes in the ground right now. It is unbelievable. People could disappear forever. I'm not suggesting you drop your excess human bodies or trash in these holes right now around here, but it is huge and scary. And that's technology's answer. All right, time enough for League of Women Voters, Voters Guide, Hussein Saab. It's H-O-B-H. I think Sob is what Netapigian said is his pronunciation. He believes that he's extremely competent contender for a position of city councilman. He's been a resident for 34 years. He's opened up a business, which has been running for 23 years. And he has earned the majority of his education That's ungrammatical. Mr. Sobe, that doesn't make sense, the sentence you just wrote there. And Liam, when voters do state that they didn't do any typos here, they put it in exactly as they got it. Spelling, grammar, everything. And but he's saying he wants to make Dearborn a cleaner, safer place to reside in by providing an alternative perspective. There's that alternative word on a variety of issues. Well, what are they? He says a lot of problems that have been ignored is the lack of support our local government places on schools. There you go, Mr. Sobe. Unfortunately, you're wrong. The city of Dearborn has no legal connection or right to interfere with or influence, other than gentle comments and statements, you know, bully pulpit, that kind of thing. There is no legal connection between the city of Dearborn and the public schools of Dearborn. None. Two different legal entities. Now, I would think anyone running for city council who feels that it's the schools that are the main issue is badly misinformed about our government. Hasn't read the city charter, I guess. In fact, he should run for, the Dearborn Board of Education, if that's his concern. Okay. Then he says, you know, more emphasis should be placed on our children's education. They're the future leaders of our community and must pass our responsibility down to them. Absolutely. Absolutely. Positive. No doubt about that. Another major problem that I will strive to fix if elected is that of crime. I've noticed an influx in crime rates. That's the wrong use of the word influx. Sorry. I am a former English teacher. I know the meaning of the word influx. And he says, actions against crime will be one of my major focuses. I thought that was left up to our judges. What are you going to do as a city council member to influence the judges? Not your place there. Also, to my knowledge, last year's statistics show that Dearborn is safer than ever. Am I wrong? Probably wrong. Call the Dearborn Police Department, folks. Look it up. We don't have a rash of crime here. Maybe certain areas. I don't know what areas those are. But oh well. Adrian Wiganek. Wiganek is a name well known in Dearborn. I can't remember whether it's judgeship or councilman or treasurer or clerk or whatever, but Adrian, which I assume is a woman, A-D-R-E-N-N-E, says that she works, I assume it's a she, works as an anesthetist in the healthcare business and has an MA in public administration. Well, public administration, gee, how to manage a public entity like government. My professional education have taught me to observe, analyze, and prioritize known facts and ask the appropriate questions and provide carefully considered plans and balanced advice. She does have a small business, doesn't say what that is, am active in the Dearborn community, volunteering for numerous organizations. I like the idea of critical thinking, getting all the facts and analyzing them. She's got an MA in public administration. Seems pretty good. Priorities. Preserve Dearborn's uniqueness and traditions. Our cityscape must be distinguishable from Detroit. I'd like to get some definitions on that one. Secondly, Dearborn residents' investments in the community must be protected. Property values can be fortified by economic vitality, preservation of city services, strong public safety measures, and excellent educational standards. There's that educational standards thing. You're running for the wrong body. If you want to talk about educational standards, you better go run for the Board of Ed, Adrian, if I may call you that. She says, I'm concerned about families and seniors who have few assets other than their homes and neighborhoods. Well, sure. Aren't we all? And third, she will support greater transparency by posting a detailed city budget on the internet for public inspection and input. Sure, why not? The trouble is with budgets, a lot of people don't know how to read a spreadsheet or however it's posted, and issues can be quite complicated. You know, some of them can't be summarized by a single sentence. They need a paragraph to explain them, and maybe that should be done. Why don't people just watch the city council televised show each week? One time or another, it's repeated, you know, day and night, so it's all over the place. So, yep. Vision of the city must be a reflection of community needs and requirements. Well, there they are, folks. There are the challengers, Wiganek, Sobe, working in backward order here. Nancy Siwick, Ali Syed, Brian C. O'Donnell, Scott J. Marquette, George Hart, who is a challenger but with name recognition, Rabin Amoud, Sharon Domage, formerly the Board of Ed. She knows the difference. Stephen S. Dobkowski Jr., Mark J. Doughty, Khalil Dakala, David W. Bazzi. And so be sure to vote on Tuesday, August 4th, 1 week from this coming Tuesday, or get your absentee ballots now and get them in probably before next weekend. Or just go to the city clerk's office, get an absentee ballot, and fill it out right there in the office at that moment. It's only the city council, that you have to vote for. So take a look at that. We're going to end with our several themes here. It is 2 minutes to the hour. This is WHFR Dearborn, and we will be waiting for Highway 61 coming up real quick here. So be careful out there. Jay Kornick saying thank you for listening. And this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. Let's keep stirring things up.
Me and you.